Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And it is something that we emphasize in practice, making sure that we're not just going through the motions in our ball security drills. It's making good decisions from the quarterback end and not putting the ball in harm's way. So it's definitely fixable. Obviously, we've shown that we know how to do it and just maybe getting back to that.
Bills were they held an NFL record, 26 straight games that they did not lose the turnover battle. That ended against the New England Patriots, and that's a recipe for when you go 3-1 on turnovers, you give it away three times, you only take it away once. That's a recipe for losing any football game against any team. And they did against the Patriots. And they lost by a field goal, even with that. You know, and then they had a chance. They turned the ball over in the Patriots red zone going in. That cost you at least 3 points, if not seven. And then they give the Patriots the ball in their own red zone, which wound up costing them 3 points. I mean, it could be a 10-point swing, at least a six. They lose by three. And that's exactly what you can't do. So there's Josh Allen right there here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome back to a Buffalo Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Hey, even though it's a Buffalo Football Friday, the Buffalo hockey team is playing. Let's get to Paul Hamilton.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
And our Paul Hamilton joins me on the West Her Hotline after last night's Sabres loss 4-0. Paul's appearances are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, Paul, I'm not going to relax too much after last night. I'm in full panic mode already because not only is it 4-0, but Josh Norris is hurt. They have a bunch of injuries already, and it just feels like it's Groundhog Day all over again, buddy. How are you, and good morning to you.
Good. Well, we can mix Football Friday in with hockey. The general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Bean, was sitting with Kevin Adams at the game yesterday, so we can mix a little football in with the hockey.
There you go. There you go. I did know there were a lot of there were quite a few Sabres people. I'm sorry, Bills people at the game last night. I know that as well. So good to see that crossover, of course, happening, that support. But unfortunately, Brandon Bean, who's used to seeing his team score a whole bunch of points, did not see any goals from the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, you know what? I've seen the Sabres play a lot worse than they did last night. It wasn't great, but it was. The problem is this: it's you had a sellout crowd to show up, and they're ready to go. I mean, they want to cheer their team. I mean, Sabre fans don't want to hate their team. They really don't. But, you know, after 14 years of not being in the playoffs, things can get pretty dicey in there. And it was a 1-0 game, basically, for most of the game. But they just never gave the crowd anything to cheer about. You know, it's like they're coming in to see, okay, what's new here? Anything new here? What, you know, should we come back? I don't know. I don't know if I'd be tempted to come back after that game. Not that I would have left, like, losing my mind or anything, but it's just, you know, they couldn't score. They, you know, Lyon played pretty well, held him in the beginning, and then I think they only gave up four or five shots in the second period. They kind of buckled it down, and it was just one of those games. But, yeah, they put 37 shots on Shesterkin, but think about it. How many were great scoring chances? Maybe five? Six? They really didn't have. And Lindy Ruff talked about it, and he really hit the nail on the head. Their passing was not good, and they lost a lot of what could have been great scoring chances by bad passes that got tipped or didn't make it there because they just were bad passes. And they were so bad at the faceoffs, they were chasing the Rangers all over the place. They never had possession of the puck. Because they'd lose the draw, then now they got to go get it, you know, and get it back from the Rangers. And, You know, those were part of the things that really added up to the loss. But, you know, just give Shesterkin credit. He got a shutout, but I don't think he was fantastic or anything. He made the saves that he had to make. As I said, there was no really highlight film saves that he had to make. And, you know, the crowd never could get going because Buffalo could never get on the board. But as I said, I've seen them play a lot worse than they played in that game. It was basically a 1-0 game till right near the very end. And, you know, it just was, that night was a bad night for that to happen, you know, with your sellout crowd there and fans wondering what's new. But problem is, part of the new isn't even in the lineup. Yep. And we know they're not a deep team. And they're not a team right now that, especially if Josh Norris is out for a while. I mean, that was a crazy injury. He went for a face-off. It looked like something maybe to do with leverage on the draw. And he just went down. And I know he's had shoulder problems before. I have no idea. It's upper body. But they can't afford to lose. They don't have the depth to lose him.
No.
They can't lose him, Thompson, or Dahlin. They just can't. And, you know, if he's out for any period of time, and then Benson and Power are surprise scratches for sickness on one, and one winds up in the hospital because he got a puck in the face, and it got worse than they thought. You know, Greenway's a good two-way player. I mean, McLeod was -3. I think he missed having Greenway on his wing. Kesselring, the guy brought in to help defensively, he's not in the lineup. They just don't have the depth to handle all these injuries that they have. They're not to that point in their growth yet that they have that kind of depth, especially if Norris is out. I don't know, Sal, I think maybe you got to put Thompson back at center and maybe move Tuck on his wing. Yeah, you might have to go back to that if he's out for a while. I don't know what else you do unless you just move Kulik back up there with Thompson like he was last year and just kind of, you know, move the centers up. Then McLeod's with Tuck and Zucker. And then Krebs would be where McLeod is, and Kozak would go into the lineup on the energy line. So I just don't know what you do if Norris is going to be out for a while.
Yeah, well, you've touched on a lot there. Let's kind of zero in on a couple of these things. Let's talk about Norris because, yeah, the shoulder, I mean, I'm just looking. I'm like, is that oblique? Is that shoulder? I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but we haven't heard anything from Lindy Ruff. What did Lindy say about it after the game, if anything? And when will we maybe know more information?
Well, they practice at noon, so you know, he'll talk after. And you know, after the game, all he said is he didn't finish the game, so that's not a good sign.
No, but it was late in the game too.
I don't know
right?
how much he knew when he said that, or if he didn't really know anything, and that's all he could say. But
it was late in the game too, right? There were not so much time left.
Yeah. It didn't look, honestly, Sal, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
No, I know. He just keeled over almost like he had a cramp or something. I'm not kidding. Like it's almost like he had a cramp and he went down, but he labored to get off the ice. He stayed off the ice. Now we had a caller earlier that criticized the trade for Josh Norris because you know, didn't get as good of he's not as good as Cousins. I push back. He's better than Dylan Cousins.
Oh,
the problem
he's much
is
better than Dylan Cousins.
The problem is he hasn't been available. Whereas Dylan Cousins generally was available. The Sabres traded the upside with the risky availability, while the Senators traded for the better availability but the lower ceiling. But as you said, the Sabres can't afford to lose him. But I don't fault them for going after a player like this. But they also knew he had a major injury history.
They took a chance. There's no question. But that's why there was a second-round pick involved in that trade, because Josh Norris is the better player. You know, there's no question about that. But if he's not available, what good
doesn't
is
matter.
It? I mean, you know, I'm if you look at Josh Norris, I mean, he did score 35 goals 1 year, but still, when he scored 35 goals, he didn't play 82 games.
66, I believe.
66.
Yep.
Right, so imagine what he could have done in 82.
I know.
You know, so if he ever could get 75 to 82 games, are you looking at a 40-goal score here? Dylan Cousins isn't going to score 40 goals, and Josh Norris is a better two-way player. But, again, you know, I think it's legitimate to talk about availability.
Yeah.
You know, throughout his career, 56, 66, 8, 50, 53, or 56 last year. That's what he's played in his career. He's only gone over 56 games once. So, You know, that's tough.
Yeah. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. All right, so you mentioned a few of the other guys. And to me, even though they're defensemen, not having Owen Power and Kesselring mattered to the offense as well because they're going to maybe give you more opportunities in the offensive end. You said it earlier. I thought Shesterkin, everything was easy for him all night. He wasn't great because he didn't have to be. He saw everything very, very cleanly. But also because the Sabres didn't have an opportunity maybe to get some of those more high-danger chances. And I think that actually starts with maybe losing Owen Power and Kesselring because you're losing two of your top four defensemen.
Yeah, you know, you're not wrong. I mean, definitely. I mean, when they're all six defensemen are in the lineup, like they got a pretty good six there. But mm-hmm. now you have to move Samuelson and Timmins from the third pair to the second pair.
Yep.
So they're now out of line from where they should be. You're now down to your number seven and your number eight defenseman, and they both have to play. So, you know, it's and Power should be back. He was just sick. How long it takes him to get better, he may be better by tomorrow. I don't know. Kesselring is another story. I mean, as Lindy said, he's week to week. He did say yesterday he's improving, but we don't know which week it's going to be that we're going to see him. I did see him in the shooting cage yesterday. So, I mean, I know he's around and doing whatever he can, but, yeah, he definitely is, and they would play together, I mean, Power and Kesselring, at least to start, and then Samuelson and Timmins would be on the third pair, and so it makes you a better team right there, but, you know, the Rangers didn't get a lot. Once they had the 11-2 shots advantage, and Buffalo played much better defensively once they kind of got it going a little bit. So it wasn't the defense that was the problem until they gave the puck away and the second goal went in, you know, along the wall. But a lot of chances that I think could have turned into really good scoring chances. There was one I remember to Zucker who basically had a tap in. I believe it was on the power play, but don't quote me on that. And it went between his legs and out. If that's on his stick, it's probably in a tap in into the net. He scores that goal quite often. That would have been a great scoring chance, but it never materialized because the pass was bad. And there was a lot of that, especially on the power play, where the passing was just not good. And I know early in the game they had a 3-on-2. They gave it, you know, and all of a sudden Doan wound up with the puck and he turned it over. They never really were able to take advantage of the 3-on-2. That could have turned into a good scoring chance. So a lot of their scoring chances were what Lindy Ruff was talking about, since they weren't passing the puck well at all.
Paul Hamilton here with us. Sabres lose 4-0 to open their season. They're back at it tomorrow night in Boston, 7 p.m. puck drop right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, and then Alex Lyon fills in for UPL last night. I thought he was really good in the first period and actually kept them in the game. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about his overall game?
Overall, fine. The second goal, he admitted he was trying to shade the middle. He thought that's where the puck was going to go, and he left too much on the one side. So, you know, I think he'd want that one back. But other than that, he made some good saves. Right off the bat, he had to make one in Zibanejad, a one-timer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was
yes.
in the first 30 seconds, the first minute, somewhere in there. And he had made a real good glove save on that one, and that kind of got him into the game. And the rest of the goals, one's a tip in, the first one's bouncing around. You really can't fault him on that. And he did make some good saves, especially on the penalty kill. Sometimes they say your goaltender is your best penalty killer, and especially that first power play he was. And I had no problem with Lyon at all. I thought that was a nice first game for him.
All right, so how do they go forward from this? Obviously, injuries are going to be a big question. We don't know what's happening with some of these guys. We'll hear a little bit more today. But, you know, you go back in the locker room, you regroup a little bit, and kind of put it into a big picture perspective. I like how you started the phone call, Paul, which is, hey, they've played worse. This wasn't their best game. It was just the situation of having everybody in the building and being, you know, the first game of the season. But no panic yet after game one after the Buffalo Sabres, right?
Yeah, I mean, Darlene's right. They have 81 games left. So, you know, who knows? They could win 5 in a row. I'm not predicting
right.
they will, but they could. I mean, you win in Boston and this game kind of gets forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, and you go forward. But it's just that they don't have the depth with some of these injuries. Now, as I said, they're going to get two of them back fairly quickly in Benson and Power.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Greenway still isn't ready yet. Kesselring still isn't ready yet. Lukanen still isn't ready yet. And then Norris. I mean, that whatever that is, it didn't look good. I'll tell you that. I don't know what kind of news is, and I'm not no doctor, and as you said, and you're absolutely right, there's no sense speculating. We do know he has bad shoulders, and we know it's an upper body. And it looked like leverage somewhere. I don't know where, whether it's, you know, your core muscle, whether it's your shoulder, what it is. But it was some type of leverage there that just got him. And who knows what that turns into. So you would hope that's going to be good news. But I'll be if he's not in, I'll be interested to see if they all just move up one line and Kulik is back there. Or if you put Thompson back in the middle and put Thompson and Tuck together like they used to be and say, all right, with Benson, that's going to be our top line. Let's go.
Paul, do you what did you think about Connor McDavid only signing a 2-year deal, 12.5, just kind of basically saying, let's just run it back for a couple years and see where it goes?
I'm not surprised by that because he had commented, I believe, before. I think I had heard him comment, you know, I think he wanted to leave money to give them the opportunity to get some other players, to get them to the Stanley Cup. I think he looks at it that he can live on $12.5 million a year. And so he doesn't have to make $20 million. He would rather make $12.5 million and win a Stanley Cup, if possible, if the Oilers are able to spend that money on other players, you know, to bring them in. And it sounds like, all right, you got 2 more years. Let's see where it goes. If after 2 years we're in the same spot and we haven't won anything, maybe he changes his mind and goes on to something different. So, no, it didn't really. I'm sure agents cringed. They love the Kaprizov contract, but I don't know. They don't know if they like the McDavid one.
Right? Then, yeah, for sure.
If you're thinking of Alex Tuck, I think Connor of Winnipeg is more in line with Tuck. Tuck and Kempe might be about equal with the Los Angeles Kings. They're both up. So now at least you're starting to get an idea, and agents are starting to get an idea where maybe, you know, you can get into more solid contract talks now that a couple of guys have signed. You know, McDavid and Kaprizov, I don't think, have much to do with Tuck.
Right.
I think Connor and Kempe might have more to do with Tuck than the other two would.
Real quick.
Eichel, too. Eichel's
yeah, for
also.
Sure. By the way, him and Marner look really good together. Real quick, anything on Tuck? Like, has either side said anything about if they're going to negotiate, not negotiate during the season, timelines, anything like that?
Seems like they're going to continue to talk.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, as Tuck said, he leaves this to his agent. He's made it clear that he loves being a Buffalo Sabre and wants to be a Buffalo Sabre, but he needs to concentrate on what's going on in the ice, and that's what he has an agent for, is to deal with, you know, contract talks and those types of things. So I don't think it's a situation where Tuck is not willing to sign or doesn't want to sign or anything like that. I wonder sometimes if Terry Pegula understands that Alex Tuck has all the power here. I mean, the Sabres have no leverage over Alex Tuck. I mean, Alex Tuck, the fans love him, and if Alex Tuck leaves, wait till you see that mutiny in the stands and on Twitter. And basically, if Alex Tuck leaves, I think it's a mass exit, and they're right back to square one again. So, I don't think teammates would be very happy about that. I know fans wouldn't want to be very happy about that. So Alex Tuck really holds all the cards. And I think, do you want to sign a 30-year-old to an 8-year deal? No. But I think you might have to, depending on what Tuck wants. You know, I don't know if Tuck wants to sign a 3-year deal and be 33 when he's doing this again. This is the big contract right now. And I would think, I'm guessing here, but I would think he'd want to get as many years out of it as he can right now. You don't want to redo it again when you're 33. You never know where you're going to be hockey-wise at age 33.
All right, Paul. Sabres in Boston tomorrow night. And then, of course, Monday Night Football. I'm looking, by the way, while you're on, I'm like, oh, you know what? I got to give Paul my loser pick. Did anybody lose last night in the loser pool? How many people took?
Quite a few.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Oh, you're out.
All three of my teams.
You took the Giants.
It worked the first few times. I had three teams. And I was taking the same team because I was going with New Orleans, the Jets, and then I did it again with New England. And it got me. So it knocked out two of my teams right there. And then I took the Giants with third team, and I am done.
Well, all right. Well, I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm eyeing maybe the Jets this week. I haven't taken them yet. They're in London against the Broncos. But I'm like, at some point, they're going to win a game. That's what's scary about that, right? So I'm going to look it over, and I'll let you know. Max is still in it, too. Yeah, he's telling me he's going to be lasting longer than me.
All Sunday, I was thinking you should change that New England pick. I didn't feel good about it the whole time because the Bills hadn't played well in a couple of weeks, and that's one of these weeks it's going to come up and get them.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have listened to myself and changed it because it did come up and get them finally. This one, the Giants one, I did not see coming.
Yeah,
I didn't think the Giants were going to beat the especially after the Eagles lost last week.
Yeah.
So I can't kick myself for that one. That's one of those that sometimes just happens, and you got to live with it. And unfortunately, though, it totally took me out of my own loser pool.
At PM1717, WGR550.com. He'll keep us up to date on everything happening today. Lindy Ruff talking after practice, injuries for the Sabres, and, of course, tomorrow night against the Boston Bruins. All right, it's hockey season again, so we'll be talking again, brother. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back at a Buffalo Football Friday with a little bit of hockey mixed in right there. But we're going to get right back to football. Going to talk about the NFL schedule week number 6. Some big games up. I do have a couple upsets I'm looking at this week, but I'm kind of, I don't know if I'm just thinking with my head or my heart and not my head. And we'll get into that up next here on WGR.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
You know, whenever the Bills play in a dome, we bring Pat Hammer on a Friday, and people say, like, well, what are you doing? Like, they're playing in a dome. Like, yeah, but people are going to the game. Like, they're going down to Atlanta. I know a lot of people going to Atlanta. I know a lot of people in Atlanta, around it, in the southeast, going to the game. And they're like, what's the weather going to be like? I'm going to be there Friday, tonight maybe, but most likely Saturday night, all day Sunday, Monday morning, tailgating, and then, of course, the game. So that's why we bring Pat Hammer on, no matter what the circumstances. And he joins me right now on the West Her Hotline, WGRZ, TV2 Chief Meteorologist. What's going on, buddy? Good morning to you.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better. If people are questioning why I'm on a dome day, hey, sometimes we just want to chat, okay?
That's right.
That can be reason enough.
Well, the last time we chatted, I just want to tell you this. Since the last time we chatted, we have a new addition to our family. I went to an event on Saturday last week with my family and totally, like, had no plans to do this whatsoever.
Yeah.
We brought home a Great Pyrenees Mountain Dog. His name is Bernie, and he's the best, and he's 5 months old, and he's already like 50 pounds, and we're told he's going to be like over 100 pounds.
Wait. Let's get this straight. What kind of dog is it?
Great Pyrenees. I think Great Pyrenees Mountain Dog is what someone told me, but he is a Great Pyrenees is what he is.
Okay, and the name is Bernie?
Bernie, and we believe his name might be Bernie Mac, but I'm not sure. Like, that looks like that's the deal, but it's Bernie. So I'm just going to say he's named after Bernie Williams because I'm a Yankee fan. But either way, we're keeping his name.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
We have a Bernese Mountain Dog, and its name is Benny.
Wow, you have a Burmese Mountain Dog. I have a Great Pyrenees.
Well, it's a Bernese.
Okay.
It's a Bernese Mountain
that
Dog.
That is wild.
A poodle.
Okay.
So it's a Bernadoodle.
Yes.
Because, you know, the trend these days is to poodle with everything. Bernese Mountain Dog, and it's with a Bernadoodle, which is a Bernese Mountain Dog mixed with a poodle, and his name is Benny.
Oh, my God.
Bernie of a Benny. How funny.
I love it. Anyway, he's great, and he's just a big, lovable dog, and we love him, and we gave him his forever home, and I'm very happy about that. And it was very cool. So we're loving that.
So you had no intention of doing this.
No. Nope.
You went into the deal and you came. Now, did the wife and kid know this was happening? What happened was
we went to TSE had a show, and TSE, we've done some stuff with them, so I don't mind saying them on the air. But they had a show last week, and we went there, an offsite show. And they had, as part of this deal, They had Buddy's Second Chance Rescue was there. And anyway, they were there, and there was a rescue place, and we didn't know. So we go in there, and there's dogs. And we're like, oh, look at these dogs. And we love dogs. We had no idea the place would even be there, like as part of like a, you know, just a vendor, if you will. I don't know how you want to say it. And anyway, they were there, and there was all these dogs and puppies, and this one dog, they're walking around, and Max is like, oh, my God, the dog is so cute. And Yana says, yeah, he's great. And, you know, they started getting to know him, and I'm doing something off to the side. Next thing I know, hey, we might want to get this dog. I'm like, oh, it was them. Really?
Great.
It's unbelievable. So yeah, we brought him home.
It's awesome. It's awesome. We have three. We had a similar situation. We have one dog. We've had him, Benny, for 2 years, but the other two dogs we have, we got him in the same situation where we went to an event, had no plans on getting dogs. and all of a sudden we came home with two, and that was 13 and a half years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I love it.
It's great. They're a part of the family. Just so you know, I mean, you know, Bernie's going to be a lot of work. Yeah. You know, in the puppy mode. So, but it's so worth it. That's great news. I'm so happy for you guys.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. I'll send you a few pictures along the way. In the meantime, leaving Sunday for Atlanta with the game on Monday night. So here for the weekend, and then leaving Sunday. Let's start with here for the weekend. What do we look like looking like in Buffalo this weekend, and then leading into Monday, which is a holiday for most people.
Wonderful as we originally thought it was. We do have a weather system that's going to come in, bring us a chance of a few showers Saturday. Not a washout, not a big deal, but there is a chance. Temperatures will be, it looks like, in the 60s. So that's Saturday. When are you leaving?
Sunday. The team will leave Sunday. I'm on the team charter. That'll be Sunday afternoon.
Okay. So Saturday around here, I would say, keep your outdoor plans. If you're going to Ellicottville for Fall Fest, the afternoon may have a few spotty showers, but Saturday, you know, not a washout, but there could be some showers. Now, here's the deal. The timing of the Bills game is good because one of the headlines you're going to see, there's going to be a big nor'easter this weekend, bringing lots of rain to East Coast cities. In fact, I'm kind of glad the Jets are playing in London because that would have been a washout. I'm worried about the Ravens game and then the Steelers game. They could have some rain because that system is going to head up the East Coast. But the thing is, it's moving away from Atlanta, so it's not going to affect us. However, some of the moisture from that system is going to come here.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Saturday night in May.
Oh. All right, you know what? We've had a little choppiness with Pat. Let's move Pat off, and we're going to bring him back on real quick. So, Pat, we had some choppiness with you, and then suddenly you just dropped. So if you get a chance, if you want to give us a call back, you know the number. We can go that way. All right, so he said Jets in London, that's good because a bit of a northeast system. That means I know people are paying attention for, like, ooh, like betting and gambling, and you're always like, what's the weather? You had a game in Baltimore this weekend, Carolina, lots of East Coast games, Jacksonville, Miami, Pittsburgh, right? Lots of East Coast games. Don't sure what it's like in Green Bay. If that's not going to qualify, but so yeah, Tampa and those West Coast of Florida, right there. So yeah, we'll if you can, Pat, give us a call back here, and we'll get you back on. I think he's on right now. Let me go right to him here. Pat, we got you, buddy. We got you back.
Yeah, I'm with you again. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. So Northeast, basically, like I'm looking at the weather: Baltimore, yeah. Carolina, Miami, yeah. Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. Yeah. All these impacted.
Okay, two of them.
Okay.
Again, Jets, is, as you know, plays in London. Yep. Good. So that game is fine. It's the Ravens game and the Steelers.
Okay.
Game. Both of those games will be affected by rain. And the other games are fine. That system will impact our weather a bit on Sunday with some showers, but it will be north of Atlanta so as to not affect our game, the Bills game, in Atlanta on Monday. So, but I will say this is one of those Sundays where you don't want a lot of East Coast home games because of this system that's going to bring us soaking rain up and down the coast Sunday.
And when you say impact the game in Atlanta, we know it's not the game, but people going to the game, obviously, it is a dome. Yeah, so, yes, you know, so we want to give an idea, though. What are people, if people are leaving tomorrow, I know people going, and there's tailgates going on and everything. What does it look like in Atlanta Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
Okay, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If there is such a thing,
It's a perfect Atlanta weekend.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome. Both the weather looks sunny Saturday and Sunday, 70s both days. For the game itself, 80 on Monday in Atlanta, and for tailgating, it's going to be in the, 70s. The weather is perfect for tailgating, and, of course, the game is fine. But if you have weekend plans to go there, it's great. Despite, you might have a little ripple effect with travel just because, there's going to be so much weather going on Sunday. But again, if it's a Monday deal, I think you're fine. You won't have any problems getting out Monday, Tuesday. The weather in Atlanta looks ideal. Looks just great. Kind of dodging a bullet, I think, given that this big storm is going to be nearby, but it will be heading away for Monday Night Football, which is good.
And by the way, it does open and close, the dome, so I wonder if they'll keep it open at all.
I was wondering, because I
keep saying dome, like, but I'm so used to just kind of say, oh, it's good, but they could keep it open, I guess, for the game, no doubt.
Yeah, I thought they had one of those deals. I think it would be great, get a little fresh air in there. But no weather to deal with Monday.
What would be the temperature on Monday evening if they decide to keep it open for a night game?
Kickoff, I would say it's 7:15, 73, 74,
okay.
Which is good. Yeah,
all right.
Good.
I love that.
So,
all right.
Looks good. I mean, we've kind of been lucky. We've had so far we're six games in. Far no at all. I have a feeling that may change as we dive into November and December. But so far, we've been on the right side of things weather wise.
All right, so a bye week next week. We will not talk next week. Next time I talk to you will be in 2 weeks when the Bills get set to take on another NFC South team in Carolina. So get that one ready in 2 weeks because the Bills are off next week. So enjoy. Thank you so much. And then we'll talk in a couple weeks, buddy.
3 weeks we've got the Chiefs at home. So
that's right.
We'll zero in on that home game because now we're in November.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's game on weather-wise. So we'll focus on that as soon as we can.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot, Pat. Appreciate you.
All right.
Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist right there. All right, I promise we're going to get to the rest of the games. I keep teasing these upsets I'm looking at. Possibly we'll do it next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. I might be crazy about football, but you're going to think I'm taking football crazy pills when I tell you I give the Jets a bit of a chance against the Broncos in London. I do. The Jets are not that good. They're not good at all. But you know what? I mean, Aaron Glenn, they're going to fight all the time. I don't care what their situation is. They're not tanking, nothing like that. Like, they got this coach they're going to fight. Yeah, the Broncos look good. The Broncos also coming off a really high emotional win at Philly. Then they get on a plane to go to London, and the Jets are 0-5. And I just think that they could, maybe sneak up a little bit on the Broncos, who are probably maybe thinking, we got this game. Anyway, I'm not like going to tell you to bet on the Jets. I just think that they're a little bit more live than what you might anticipate. That is a 9:30 a.m. start on Sunday morning. Let's get to the rest of NFL Week 6. Rams at Ravens. We just heard Pat Hammer say Baltimore weather could impact the game. Do you remember, Dan, last year Rams and Ravens played and it was wet and it was rainy that game? Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It's the same situation. They're playing again this year. Maybe in the rain. What does that do? I don't know, but the Ravens are so banged up on defense. They can't stop anybody. I'd expect the Rams to go into town and be able to take care of business, but who knows when the weather can be an equalizer there. By the way, if the Ravens lose, they're 1-5, right? I mean, come on. Holy cow. Cowboys at Panthers. Cowboys should win this game. They are very good offensively, but they just play these high-volume games where you never know which way it's going to go. And the Panthers shut out the Falcons a couple weeks ago, 30-0. I think the last time the Cowboys played in Carolina, it was basically like 90% Cowboys fans. I remember some of the videos I saw and things like that. Happens a lot with the Cowboys and some other stadiums. But Cowboys at Panthers at 1 o'clock. Cardinals at Colts. I think I'm settling on the Cardinals as my loser team, I think, because Kyler Murray might not even play in this game. They're without their top two running backs. The Colts look good. They're 4-1. I don't think they're... They might be playing a little bit over their heads in what you see towards the end of the year, but they're a good team, and they're not making mistakes, so I think I'll lean maybe taking Cardinals here. Colts 4-1, looking to go to 5-1. Seahawks at the Jags, interesting game, especially after the Jags came up with the win last week against the Chiefs. Seahawks going to Jacksonville. I think the Seahawks could take Jacksonville down in this one after coming off a big loss last week, and Jacksonville coming off a big win. I think those things matter when you kind of get on to the next week and how you approach it. Chargers at Dolphins.
hey, I mean, Chargers should be the better team here, but I don't know, a little luster loss off to the off them, the way they've played. Justin Herbert hasn't been as good. They lost their tackles, but we know the Dolphins as well are very banged up. They just are very bad on defense right now, numbers-wise. Can't stop anyone, so could be a higher-scoring game here, Chargers-Dolphins. I don't know really which way to go. Probably the Chargers, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins won this one. Here's the one I think could happen. I actually think the Saints could beat the Patriots. I'm looking at this game. Same thing. Patriots, not a short week. I mean, it's Sunday Night Football, but Sunday night, coming back from Buffalo, they won a game where they won by getting three turnovers, and that's fine. Saints have not looked terrible except for one game this year, and that was in Seattle. Otherwise, they've looked okay. They even looked okay against Buffalo. They have some talent. I think the Patriots will make it tough on Spencer Rattler for sure, and they're tough to run on. But I think the Saints here, after a win last week against the Giants, Patriots coming off a big win. I don't know. I think the Saints could win this game. If the Patriots blow them out, you can tell me how totally wrong I was. It's going to be a bit more of a game, though, I think.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
And that can go either way. Patriots are going to play a lot of games. It can go either way with how they play. Browns, Steelers, never know in this game. Never know what's going to happen. Browns can't figure out their quarterback situation. They trade one. Who's starting? The third string, getting more attention than the starter, basically. Steelers, 3-1, coming off a bye, looking to go 4-1. They should win this game, but they're going to have a tough time moving the ball against that very, very, very good Browns defense. Browns trying to get their second win of the year. Big AFC North battle right there. Titans at Raiders, two teams at 1-4. The Raiders are the better team. Titans won a game last week. Very fluky. Very fluky plays. They come back. They beat the Cardinals. Cam Ward has done some nice things, but I'm not. He doesn't have a lot of talent around him either. Geno Smith can have great games. He can also make a couple really terrible mistakes in games. I think I like the Raiders at home here. Bengals at Packers. How can you not like the Packers? The Bengals have nothing right now. Joe Flacco's going to start, though, and he already beat the Packers this year. Bengals defense is bad as advertised, and their offense now also bad because they don't have Joe Burrow. And they can't run the ball. Their offensive line is not good. Bengals at Packers is a 4:25 p.m. start. Same with 49ers at Buccaneers. 49ers have looked good. They're 4-1. They went to L.A. They won on a Thursday night last week. And now they have more time to prepare for a Bucs team that's got some injuries. Chris Godwin's not going to play. Mike Evans, I think, is still out. I believe Evans is still out, right? Is that true?
Yeah, he's okay. Still on IR.
Yeah, still on IR. Thank you. But, man, they can score. And Baker Mayfield is always game. So, interesting, good game there between the 49ers and the Buccaneers. The big one Sunday night is Lions at Chiefs, right? I mean, the Chiefs lose. They go to 2-4, and the Lions are a team that can beat them. The Lions at 4-1 are starting to get things rolling here, so it should be really interesting to see the Lions at the Chiefs on Sunday night. We're going to be dialed into that one, watching it. I'll be in Atlanta watching it and then getting you ready for Monday Night Football. Bills at Falcons at 7:15 p.m. Monday night. Bears Commanders 8:15 p.m. Monday night while the Bills game is going on. We got it all covered for you. And of course, right here on WGR in the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We also have the Sabres tomorrow, 7 p.m. against the Boston Bruins. Also, Sabres on Monday on the Bet 1520 taking on the Avalanche while we roll into Monday Night Football. Have a great weekend, everybody. We have One Bills Live coming your way after Sabres Live coming up next, talking about last night's game and looking ahead to the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.